This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of discoid meniscus from the sports section on orthobullets.com. A discoid meniscus is an abnormal development of the meniscus, which leads to a hypertrophic and discoid-shaped meniscus. A discoid meniscus is larger than a usual meniscus. A discoid meniscus is also referred to as popping or snapping knee syndrome. As far as the epidemiology, discoid menisci are present in 3 to 5% of the population. With respect to location, usually the lateral meniscus is involved, and 25% of discoid meniscus cases, and 25% of discoid meniscus cases are bilateral. With respect to the classification of discoid meniscus, Watanabe et al. Classified various types of lateral discoid menisci based on their arthroscopic appearance. Discoid menisci with normal peripheral attachments were labeled as either type 1, aka complete, or type 2, aka incomplete, according to the degree of coverage of the lateral tibial plateau. So type 1 is complete and type 2 is incomplete, while type 3, also known as the Risberg ligament type, includes discoid meniscus cases without normal posterior meniscotibial attachments, thus allowing increased mobility and producing the classic, quote, snapping knee syndrome. Although the Watanabe classification is the most frequently used classification system for discoid menisci, its value for the purposes of treatment decision-making is controversial. With respect to the presentation of a discoid meniscus, symptoms can include pain, clicking, and/or mechanical locking. A discoid meniscus can often become symptomatic in adolescence. On physical exam, mechanical symptoms are most pronounced in extension. With respect to imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP and lateral of the knee. Findings can include a widened joint space of up to 11 millimeters, squaring of the lateral femoral condyle with cupping of the lateral tibial plateau, and or a hypoplastic lateral intercondylar spine. An MRI is the study of choice for suspected symptomatic meniscal pathology. Diagnosis can be made with 3 or more 5-millimeter sagittal images with meniscal continuity, aka the bowtie sign. A sagittal MRI will show an abnormally thick and flat meniscus. Coronal MRI will show thick and flat meniscal tissue extending across the entire lateral compartment. Treatment for a discoid meniscus can be operative or non-operative. Non-operative management includes observation, which is indicated for an asymptomatic discoid meniscus without tears. Operative intervention usually involves a partial meniscectomy and saucerization, which is indicated for pain and mechanical symptoms, whether from a meniscal tear or meniscal detachment. The technique is focused on obtaining an anatomic-looking meniscus with debridement. Keep in mind that you should repair the meniscus if it's detached, like in a Watanabe type 3 discoid meniscus, aka the Risberg variant, where there is a lack of a posterior meniscotibial attachment to the tibia. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. First question. An 8-year-old boy complains of intermittent painless clicking in his knee. His physical examination is normal. His family doctor orders an MRI, which reveals an incomplete lateral discoid meniscus without evidence of tear. What is the most appropriate treatment? And the choices are 1. Observation only, 2. Diagnostic arthroscopy, 3. Saucerization of the meniscus, 4. Saucerization of the meniscus and microfracture, and 5. Saucerization and stabilization of the meniscus. So the clinical presentation is consistent with an asymptomatic discoid meniscus. The most appropriate treatment at this time would be observation only, making 1, observation only, the correct answer to this question. MRI scans of the knee are very sensitive for identifying discoid menisci. Diagnosis is usually made when there are 3 or more 5-millimeter sagittal MRI images showing meniscal continuity. Treatment is mostly focused on conservative modalities. Asymptomatic tears are usually treated with observation only. Saucerization is indicated for recurrent locking, swelling, persistent pain, or radiographic evidence of a meniscal tear. Watanabe et al. Described 3 types of discoid lateral menisci based on arthroscopic appearance. In this classification, discoid menisci with normal peripheral attachments are either type 1 complete or type 2 incomplete. Type 3 discoid menisci, the so-called Risberg ligament type, are lacking posterior capsular attachments with the exception of the posterior meniscofemoral ligament. Kramer et al. Looked at the presentation of pediatric knee pain and discoid meniscus. they showed that the lateral meniscus is more commonly affected than the medial meniscus. The majority of discoid tears occur in the posterior or middle aspect of the meniscus. Moving on to the next question. At the time of arthroscopy, a 9-year-old boy was found to have a Watanabe type 2 discoid lateral meniscus. What is the most appropriate treatment? And the choices are 1. Saucerization of the meniscus only, 2. Saucerization and stabilization of the meniscus, 3. Stabilization of the meniscus only, and 4. Complete meniscectomy. So the Watanabe type 2 meniscus should only require saucerization for treatment because it's not unstable. The Watanabe classification defines 3 types of discoid menisci. To quickly review, type 1 is stable and complete, where the block-shaped lateral meniscus covers the entire lateral tibial plateau, whereas in type 2, which is considered stable and incomplete, the lateral meniscus covers less than or equal to 80% of the tibial plateau. Type 3 discoid menisci, which are unstable and considered a ligament of Risberg variant, these appear to be normal except for a thickened posterior horn, but they lack posterior meniscal attachments, including the meniscotibial, aka coronary ligament. The type 3 discoid meniscus is stabilized only by the meniscofemoral ligament of Risberg. This results in hypermobility of the lateral meniscus at the posterior horn, which pulls into the intercondylar notch with knee extension, resulting in snapping knee syndrome. Complete meniscectomy should be avoided if possible. So the correct answer to this question is 1. Saucerization of the meniscus only. Moving on to the next question. Which statement is true regarding discoid menisci? And the choices are 1. Most commonly involves the medial meniscus, 2. Bilateral in greater than 75% of cases, 3. Asymptomatic discoid meniscus should undergo saucerization, 4. Radiographs will commonly show a hyperplastic lateral intercondylar spine, and 5. Radiographs will commonly show squaring of affected condyle with cupping of tibial plateau. So radiographs of knees with discoid menisci will commonly show squaring of the affected condyle, lateral greater than medial, with cupping of the tibial plateau. So the correct answer to this question is 5. Radiographs will commonly show squaring of the affected condyle with cupping of the tibial plateau. To quickly review, discoid meniscus refers to the abnormal development of a hypertrophic and discoid-shaped meniscus. It occurs in 3 to 5% of the population and is considered the most common cause of a symptomatic clicking or clunking in a child's knee. The lateral meniscus is most commonly affected and it will occur bilaterally in 25% of affected people. The Watanabe classification describes 3 types of discoid menisci, type 1 being complete, type 2 being incomplete, and type 3 being the Risberg variant, where there's a lack of posterior meniscotibial attachments to the tibia. Kramer et al. Looked at the presentation of pediatric knee pain, and they showed that the lateral meniscus is more commonly affected than the medial meniscus. The majority of discoid tears occurred in the posterior or middle aspect of the discoid meniscus. Lee et al. Retrospectively reviewed 36 patients aged less than 15 years who underwent arthroscopic procedures for torn discoid menisci. The mean patient age at the time of surgery was 9.5 years. They showed that partial meniscectomy yielded better radiologic results than subtotal/total meniscectomy for torn discoid menisci in this population. Moving on to the next question. During a knee arthroscopy on a 38-year-old patient with isolated medial knee pain and no lateral symptoms, a routine examination of the lateral compartment reveals a discoid lateral meniscus. The discoid lateral meniscus is not torn. Based on these findings, what is the most appropriate action? And the choices are 1. Complete lateral meniscectomy, 2. Lateral meniscal repair, 3. Saucerization of the lateral meniscus, 4. Microfracture of the lateral femoral condyle, and 5. Do nothing surgically to the lateral meniscus. So the most appropriate action is to note this finding in the surgical report but do nothing surgically in the lateral compartment. Multiple studies have shown that asymptomatic discoid lateral menisci seen on routine knee arthroscopies for other pathology need not be addressed surgically. They do not cause problems later in life and do not need to be treated prophylactically. So the correct answer to this question is 5. Do nothing surgically to the lateral meniscus. And moving on to the final question. A 9-year-old boy has lateral right knee pain. An MRI scan shows a discoid lateral meniscus with a partial tear in its central portion. Treatment should consist of, and the choices are 1. Arthroscopic saucerization of the meniscus, 2. Lateral total meniscectomy, 3. Meniscal transplant, 4. Arthroscopy and repair of the central tear, and 5. Casting for 6 weeks followed by physical therapy. So a tear of the mid portion of a stable discoid lateral meniscus should be treated with a partial meniscectomy with saucerization. lateral total meniscectomy is contraindicated because of the poor long-term results following this procedure. Meniscal transplant and casting do not have a role in this scenario, although meniscal repairs may be needed for peripheral meniscal instability. But the correct answer to this question is 1, arthroscopic saucerization of the meniscus. That's all for this review about discoid meniscus. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.